chapter 9. We're not going to be looking at every scripture on the Holy Spirit, just almost all of them. But the reason is because the shock that the Holy Spirit was actually God is enough. But we need to, I think, get to know Him, more things about Him. So there's a lot of scriptures that have just little short things that I want to look at. Acts 9:31. So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear from the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. Again, we've talked a little bit about this. It's Samaria, and they're talking about peace. Samaria, Judea, Jerusalem, it wasn't so. And yet, in the Holy Spirit, what happened? Walls, prejudices were broken down. It says they were being built up. The word there, comfort, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, I think probably better is exhortation, the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. That was all that I wanted to talk about on that, actually. It's just the fact that in the Holy Spirit, they had encouragement. In the Holy Spirit, they had peace. When God is living inside you, what is there to fight about? Wait a second, I've got to show you I'm right. My theology, you get the Holy Spirit inside you, hopefully your theology goes to Gehenna, where it's supposed to. So, anyway, praise the Lord. Acts 10:38. Interesting scripture in a lot of ways. We won't go into a lot of the ways, but Acts 10:38, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Why? Because God was with him. For God was with him. He talks about them being witnesses of that. But God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Now, the anointed often means poured on, covered over. And of course, he was completely baptized in the Holy Spirit. But they used the word anointed here. But with power also. And how do we know? Because he was going about healing those that were oppressed of the devil. God was with him. Why would they say God was with him? The Holy Spirit was in Jesus, filled Jesus, was completely in him. God is with man. And here we are, we're talking about this, and guess what? That same Holy Spirit is now within us, as we're about to see it happen. Look at verse 39. We are witnesses of these things. He did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Remember, what's going on here is Peter is talking to Cornelius, his household, and whoever else they drug in. And they also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly testify that this is the one who had been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening, upon all those who were listening to the message. Let's read on. We'll come back to that. Verse 45, all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speak with tongues and exalting God. Do not kid yourself that tongues was something important. It is, I don't think, of the importance that mankind has placed upon it. Typical, we've talked about this a lot. But this is one of the signs. But they were also hearing them do what? Exalting God. So it was speaking in tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered and said, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? Now, Peter obviously had some things backwards, typical for Peter, because we all know that what happens is you repent, you receive Jesus, you get baptized, and then we can talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit. However, Peter, being the first pope, messed it up. Isn't this interesting, folks? This is backwards from everything that we could possibly believe. Remember, the Holy Spirit is given to those that are in covenant with God. And these people evidently must have, now I'll tell you what I think happened, is they believed, but they were not baptized in water yet. Water was a symbol of repentance. Water was the water baptism was one of the signs of the new covenant. Not all the signs. There were a number of signs, probably more signs for the new covenant than any of the other covenants. Remember, they will speak with other tongues. Baptism was one of those, but they would also do what? Drink deadly poison. It wouldn't bother them. Snakes were not going to cause them any trouble. Remember Paul shaking that one off. Come on. It's a god. Some people have made a big deal out of that. Isn't there somebody that's in an area that they do that from here? Yeah, Weldon is. Yeah, okay, it's Weldon is who I'm thinking of. That would mean someone else too. I forgot. Yeah. Weldon, I've never heard of him before. I don't know the man. It's in the backwoods folks sometimes get excited about that. Let's go get, and they handle rattlesnakes. And they die. Not all of them, but you know, wait, look, I lived through this. And oh boy. You see, what's the problem? This is not encouragement. It's not the furtherance of the kingdom. Okay, it's getting off into the flesh. Why do we do the same kind of stuff? Seeking to exalt self rather than exalting God. These to me are really exciting scriptures because again, they tend to hit us in a way that we don't believe. Now, I think one of the problems is again, our definition of saved. These people believed, okay? It's obvious they believed. Now, interesting thing, if you go back and read about Cornelius and his family, this man was dedicated to God's word, and he had dedicated his family to God's word. It's, you know, evidently he was really somebody that kept God's word and really, really, really believed. We do have a tendency to not believe everything that God has done and also believe on it backwards. This is not as backwards as we want to believe. What did not happen is they did not get baptized in water right away. Okay? Now, what does that mean? They had not been baptized in water into Jesus' name. But we have to, looking at this, we have to go, wait a second, they must have believed into Jesus, no matter what. Something happened. The head of the clan believed, that's for sure, and it's spread down into them. I find it interesting. It was all, too. There are many accounts of societies when they go in and they're trying to present the gospel to everyone, and they talk eventually to the big chief, and the big chief will eventually go, fine, these are good words, we believe. It doesn't work that way. It does here. we believe. And the whole place becomes belief, and here we are. You know, how does that happen? Well, I believe authority is, and being under it is huge. I believe Scripture talks about that. And it's not as backwards as it looks. If they believed, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit was not, you know, what you call a really big thing. Because they believed. That was what was going to happen to them. Although when you're first reading it, you're going, wait, it's supposed to be water first. And I find his question, surely we can't refuse water to these that are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, that's good. I mean, his logic is good, but, you know, you're just thinking, well, did you really have to ask that? Yes. I'm telling you, the Jews, it was beyond their... The Gentiles? Oh, I mean, remember Peter's response to, I've never touched anything like that before in my life. And well, no, I'm telling you, this is what you're supposed to do. He was shaken by that. And that God loved people other than Jews blew their mind. One of the reasons for that is because they believed in predestination in a wrong way. They believed in the elect in a wrong way. They had wrong eschatologies. It's amazing. And here we are with our messed up belief systems and all of our denominations. There's a lot here that I find very exciting. One of the things, remember, that we see in disciples and people believing, and even in baptism. Let's talk about this for a minute. We've talked about it a number of times before. Remember, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, "Go into all the earth and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have said to you, and baptizing who? Them. Baptizing them." Folks, go and look at the sentence. Now, we've talked about this before, but let's slam it home. Open it up, Matthew 28, take a look at it. No, don't worry about it. That's all right. You can read it instead of me. Matthew 28, Tyler's going to read it for us.
Go ye therefore, yeah. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
First, he takes care of the eschatology. Who cares about what your eschatology? I'm with you, even to the end of the age. Okay? But it's not baptizing all nations. Now, who's it? The Mormons. I don't know if you know this, but they are baptizing people, and they are baptizing people. What's the word I'm looking for? In abstentia. Yeah, they are. They have names. They have ancestry. Yeah, y'all didn't know this? Yeah. This is going on. You may not know it, but you may be Mormon. They are baptizing. Oh, Jews are very upset about this. You know, you're not going to baptize me into the. You know, what about Baptists? We'll do that. Anyway, and they have people that, and they are doing this by the millions, baptizing in abstentia. You know, okay, so and so and so and so and so. You still got your breath? But it's, you're not baptizing all the nations. It's baptizing who? What does it say? Disciples. We have wrongly done it. We have baptized converts, and nowhere does it say to baptize convert. Now, right away, I started, you know, when we started teaching this, here comes the arguments. Well, yeah, what about this one? What about this one? What is a disciple? He tells us, he makes sure that in this, he says, okay, I'm going to redefine disciple. What is disciple, John 8:31? What? If you abide in my word, continue my word, then you are what? Truly my disciples. Okay? And here he comes up and he says the same thing. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, into the name of the Son, into the name of the Holy Spirit, doing what? Teaching them to tereo. Teaching them to tereo all that I've said. To meditate upon my word. Now he's defined again disciples. He's defined disciples, but he said to do something with disciples that he never said to do to converts. Okay? And we baptize converts. Oh, yeah, they're born again. Oh, they walk the aisle. Oh. And we wonder why we have continued weakness in people that are not really believers, etc. They've never repented. They've never really been born from above. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They know the religious stuff. Okay? Again, it's baptizing disciples. Well, when is somebody a disciple? They're, I don't know. When they're starting to really keep, when they're really getting with it, when they are really starting to meditate, I don't exactly know when you would say, okay, they've got the stamp of disciple on them, but I can tell you it's not a brand new convert. It's not. This is not, this hasn't worked. Why? Because it's not biblical. We go and do this, and these, oh yeah, I was baptized. Or worse yet, they was baptized as a baby. And that's not believer's baptism. It's not. So anyway, any comments or questions on what we've talked about this evening, I mean, so far? Yes, sir.
It's really interesting to get back to it. But in Matthew 28, says that the emphasis, it doesn't even say a water baptism per se. I mean, I wouldn't argue the point, obviously, the theological flow, but the main subject of the sentence isn't water baptism in any way. The main subject is making disciples and putting them, it's not the baptizing, but in the Father. And he stuff again, teaching to observe. Then he says the same thing twice, making disciples and in the name, verse 20, teaching them to observe, and I'm with you always.
Yeah.
So he's saying the same thing. And where was it that we were in Acts? Was it Acts 10:38, I think that we were?
Yeah.
Hang on. And whenever some people... You mentioned some people may tilt that they got the Holy Spirit before they were baptized, baptized in water. But in verse 44, Peter was still speaking these words. The Holy Spirit fell upon them, which is God with them, and they were listening to the message.
Yeah.
And so I don't in any way want to undercut that baptism by water is important. The Bible obviously seems to speak about it, but I may suggest that it's perhaps less important than it's been made out to be by the Baptist
denomination. And so many others.
I'm not trying to undercut it anyway, but the main point is not that you go to heaven and you're baptized. The point is you go to heaven and you're with God.
Well, yeah, and see, the baptism in two. Now, let's get Pentecostal. The Pentecostals will say, if you are not baptized into the name of God, they'll say in the name of the Father, His Son Jesus. If they, telling you, if they don't say Jesus, it didn't take. Yeah. But Mary, do you remember this one? I know your mind may be going over there to it. We had There was a fellow, it was a pastor, that called quite a few years ago, inquiring about this school and whether it was good enough for one of their young people to go to. I do not remember all of the clash, but there was a bit of a clash. It wasn't too bad. It would not be pretty. It really wouldn't. I would have no patience with a person like this. He was extremely arrogant, very condescending. I was just literally, I've got scars on my tongue to this day from biting my tongue and not saying biting things with my tongue. But he wanted to know about what is your theology? I thought, we don't have a theology. Well, we are checking out to see what you do believe, you know. And he asked a couple of inane questions. And then, you know, what about baptizing? How do you baptize? I said, water? I mean, you know, it's dry. It's been a drought, but we dust here. We dust to dust. We're more biblical. Are you ready? You had to be baptized 3 times. Yeah, 3 times. Baptized 3 times. What was the thing on the... Do you remember their thing on communion too? Oh, it was just goofy. I forgot. You had to take different kinds of communion or something. No. Yes. I wondered if you would wake up. Anyway, student showed up anyway, despite the objections of God himself. The pastor. But they were into, you had to be baptized 3 times, and then communion was done in some weird, strange way. It was really odd. But David, what you're saying, you think about it. He didn't say baptize them in water. What does it mean? Immerse them in Father. Immerse them completely in Jesus. Now, we see the baptism in water, and they talk about it. Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Some of them, remember, they ran across that group of disciples that had only been baptized by John's repentance. Oh, that wasn't good enough. They had to be baptized in Jesus, into Jesus, and that was true, to get into the new covenant. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not via water. And it's definitely not just that, but it's also, remember, Jesus said his baptism would be not just of the Holy Spirit, but in fire. We've not talked about, and the few people that do just get all, I mean, they turn it into a doctrine. It's really strange. Maybe this church also baptized people in fire. You know, I mean, they were really different. Go ahead.
I was looking, it may be there, but I don't remember a time where Jesus ever said that he would baptize with water.
He did not. In fact, he refused.
And obviously baptism by water is something that is supposed to happen for a disciple. I'm not trying to say anything against that. But in this passage, and I don't mean to be unkind, but those who would choke over in Acts chapter 10, where these converts who became, who were listening to the word, being discipled and received the purpose of the eternal kingdom, God's eternal purpose, which would be the Spirit of God in man, God with man. People that would shook over that, they're really not catching the bigger picture. That's not something I can say to them, but Maybe you're missing the bigger picture if you can't see past. Obviously, yeah, be baptized in water, but look at the picture that it's trying to tell you.
That's true. It truly is going after the big picture of the whole thing, not just in water. Water's important, we're told. But baptism in the Holy Spirit is important. Obviously, baptized into the name of Father is going to be important. Baptized into fire, well, how do we do that? And again, let's go back to this other point, too, that I was making on baptizing disciples. This is one of the places where people, and you just said it, these converts. Now, were they converts? Are they converts? Yeah. But remember what the definition of a disciple is. And these people had been being discipled. It's somebody that is abiding in God's word. And that's what was going on in Cornelius' godly house. I've had people bring up the Ethiopian eunuch, and I just smile. So what was he up to? And the look on their face is great. Oh, my goodness. He was reading the Word. It goes on and on and on. Well, wait a second. What about at Acts chapter 2? They weren't discipled. These were godly Jews. They were showing up for the feast. What are you talking about? The only one that would even come close to fitting is the Philippian jailer who was listening to Paul and Silas sing gospel songs all night long. Now, I don't say that he was a disciple, but he's the only one that I have found that did not fit that description that was baptized. I mean, the description fully of you know, being a full disciple. Ms. Davis?
But the only one last thing is the word baptize literally means that it's dip or the same to immerse. And perhaps I'm wrong. I would wonder if sometimes whenever the Lord used the word baptism, he wasn't thinking of dunking anybody into water at all, or even the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but literally, go make disciples of all nations and immerse them into the name of the Father. Get them in a... I'm not sure what all God meant.
That's what it says.
Does it even have to always mean that they're put under the water? I don't.
But it's not what it's saying.
It literally it means to immerse. Since can't the word immerse mean immerse?
Yes.
Just put them in Father.
And I believe that honestly, what we're talking about there is the point. It really is. And we've turned it into all sorts of other things. Water baptism, terribly important. But it doesn't use water right there anywhere. Now, we see from Scripture that what? Baptism into, have you been baptized into Jesus' name? And then it says they were baptized. In Acts we see that, and so we have to go, okay, that's what it means to be baptized into Jesus' name. But think about why that would be such an important thing. He's the mediator of the new covenant. I mean, you have to get in there to get anywhere else. And if we look over in John 14 and those glorious scriptures where it's me and you and me and they and us and all this, and you know, it's that big, wonderful, glorious mess that winds up with, I'm in the middle, the Holy Spirit permeates me, the Holy Spirit permeates Jesus Christ, and we are all in Father. And nobody can die because we're all in Father and we're all completely immersed within Him. But you don't get there except through Jesus Christ, period. That's it. You only get to the Father and to these other things through Him. You get the gift of the Holy Spirit when you believe upon Him, not when you're baptized into water. This baptism is a sign. It's a statement. I'm dead to me. I'm alive to somebody else. I have died. Go back to the blood covenant, folks. It's a walk into death. It's a statement that I'm dead. It's a statement, I'm not going to walk my way anymore, I'm walking in His. It's a statement that I'm filled with him and he's filled with me. I think you're right. But again, most people could not handle, even get close to handling what we're talking about right there. Okay? Anybody else? Yes. Sir?
Back on the Philippian jailer.
On what?
The Philippian jailer.
You brought up.
I was looking at him a few weeks ago, and he went up to Paul and whoever was with him, Silas, I think, and he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And then they said, "Believe." But then right after that, it said they preached the word to him, and it doesn't say that he believed until after it says that they preached the word to him. So even in that example, the word came first, and then belief followed.
Yeah, listening to songs all night, so he was a one-day disciple, but one-night disciple.
And an earthquake. I believe. Anyone else on this? Thank you, Brandon. Ms. Davis, anything? Yes.
What does water mean in covenant?
What?
What does water mean, like, in covenant? Like, blood means life. What does water mean?
I'm not exactly sure. When you think about it, I almost blurted this out a minute ago. Is it not amazing that life, the way we know it, is based on water? It's not that you get water on the outside in baptism. You're drinking it all day long. You're three-quarters water. A planet is three-quarters water. Have you ever noticed that? The most amazing chemical around. It cleanses almost anything. It's amazing to watch what some cleaners will not clean, and you put some water on, and it picks it right up. I often am using in repairing different things, Gorilla Glue, and that stuff is, you know, on my hands, and yet water, and you do this, and it's gone. You know, it can't be dried yet, but it's amazing what water does. We have to protect ourselves from it constantly. That's what the roof is about and everything else. And when you are building a house, it's constant on the power of water. What's it going to do? What's it going to tear up? If it gets in a leak, it's going to destroy things, and it dissolves. It dissolves wood. It just dissolves it. How did he get down here? Bye, Luther. Boy, he was looking for it. He knew which way to go, too. He was heading this direction. I thought, what's going on? I couldn't see his little furry body back there. Where do we see water first used in covenant? At creation. He was the face over that water. But we also see it, what did you say? The flood, right away. The cleansing of the earth with that. What we really see is at the Red Sea. What are they doing? Red Sea, walking into a wall of blood. When you do a covenant, split the animal down the middle, you walk into what? Wall of blood. Walls on both sides of blood. Stepping into a new life. They left Egypt. I am the one. I am the covenant God that has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And you had to walk through two walls of the Red Sea to get there. It is blood covenant, but what's blood made of mostly? Water. Water, almost completely water. So, anyway, I've thought about it some, but not a lot, but there's considerable number of things that are there.
John the Baptist used water, and it seems like in a lot of different places they use water to purify. And so it just like it says in John 1, it's talking about John. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And just like John, it says John was a witness of things to come. and he was a witness of the light, and Jesus was that light. And I wonder if he baptized in water because Jesus was that water. He was that cleansing, and that he was that source of life. And just like mankind, so often we, instead of looking at the giver, we seek the gifts. And water is the gift of covenant, just like blood, just like life. And so that's, maybe that's part of the big deal, is we focus so much on this water baptism when all it really is a testimony of who he is. And I don't know, but...
There is a great deal of importance to it.
It's true. The problem, again, with, you know, mankind turns it into something that it unfortunately is not. And everything goes around that. With Baptists, the Church of Christ, I mean, that's it, period. And some other denominations. It's important. I don't think anybody's trying to undo the importance of that, of the water. God said to do it. So that's simple enough. There is one scripture that's real... well, we're not going to go into it. I'm not going to try to go there. So, Miss Davis, you have something? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, just on that, a properly hydrated body will survive about 3 days without water, which is fascinating. You know, because three is Jesus, 3 days before being risen, and three is the number of God. And it's really just a very clear statement that you can't, if water is life, that you can't have life without God. You get outside of God, and it's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just like with the pneuma, too, you've got 4 minutes. 4 minutes before there's brain damage that happens. With air, the oxygen. It's fascinating. The design is always pointing to God. Speaking of that, I bring this up and always laugh. Scientists looking at through telescopes at Mars and going, "Hey, a flood happened on that planet. Wow, look at that! Some flood happened." And because they can see evidences of a flood, they're sitting on a planet that's over 3/4 water and go, "Boy, I'd be bad if it ever happened here." Oh man. It's fascinating.